Good morning. Good to see everybody on this preceding Thanksgiving weekend. Hope that your plans are coming together for Thanksgiving and you are grateful to God. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? I was reading over there in Deuteronomy. God has been preparing his people to be freed from Egypt. And now in Deuteronomy, by the time we get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, they've been freed and God is giving them the Ten Commandments. And then over there in chapter 6 now, he says this: "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land that he is going to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities, you did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Amen. Not many of us grew up in Egypt. Amen. But we all grew up with a past life, with having lived lives of sin. And let's never forget how good God is, the fact that he has redeemed us and brought us out of the land of slavery. Amen. Praise his name. So thankful that you're here this morning. And for those who are joining us online, so nice to have you today. We're using some new equipment. And so bear with us as we have any technical difficulties that we may need to work through. So today we continue in our series on the church. Dave and Becky and Noah, it's good to have you guys today. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christian someday could watch and join you guys on service online? Let him know 11 o'clock Dixon time, because that's kind of like the center of the universe. So yeah, 11 o'clock Dixon time. Sunday mornings. Today we continue in our series on the church. Aren't you glad Jesus said, "I will build my church"? And he didn't say, "You know, I might build my church." If things go pretty well with you guys, I mean, kind of depends on how you guys are doing, I might build my church. If you guys can keep up your end of the bargain, I might think about helping you. If things don't get too rough down there on earth, I'm going to do my best to build the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Amen? Yes. He said, "I will build my church." There is no tentativeness about it. There's no uncertainty. And if Jesus says something, it's going to be a reality. Amen? Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen. Happy birthday, Jay, over there, 40 years old. How does 40 feel?
I'll take 40.
Yeah, you feel old. Okay. I hear I missed some moves the other night.
Oh,
yeah.
You didn't put them on Facebook, though.
Yo, yeah, you need to upload those to YouTube, brother. Yeah. 40 years old and can still do a little breakdancing. Yeah, bust a move there. A few weeks ago, we talked about identity, who we are in Christ. That we are the blood-bought people of God. He did not leave us to our own devices. When we were wandering in sin, he pursued us. Amen. He came and got us through his mercy, through the church, through the long arm of our Sunday school teachers. Amen. Through the long arm of the pastors, through the long arm of the prophets, through the long arm of the church, he came and got us. And we are his. 2 weeks ago, we wrestled with a couple questions when it came to who are we as a church. Who are we? We wrestled with a couple questions like, if we're part of the body as believers, now if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are part of his body. He has given you specific gifts to be used within the body, the church. There's no tentativeness about it. It's not if I don't have anything else to do kind of thing. It's, you have a job to do. I have given you gifts. Use them in the body. It's absolutely essential that your gifts and abilities be used and employed in the work of the church. So, where are you? You've been given gifts. Where do you connect to the body? If you're an elbow, you ought to be connected to the bicep. If you're a thumb, you ought to be connected to the palm. Amen. And your family can see where you're connected. Amen. Your neighbor can easily see and identify that because you're part of the body, you connect there. Amen. That's vital because God is depending on you and me to be in the world, not of the world, in the world, so that when people are thinking about who God is, where's God, the church is right there. And they're saying, I see you connected to the body. Otherwise, we're out there on our own, dangling around, not having any identity or ownership to the head, who is Christ. Amen? All right. So where are we? God reaches people through connected people. God reaches people through people who are connected to His body. Amen? Now, the body is wonderfully diverse and has wonderful, I mean, don't narrow the definition of to your experience as to what church is. Church is happening under shade trees. It's happening in barbershops. It's happening all over the world in various forms and ways. Last week, the work of the church, we talked about what is it that we do as a body? What is it that we're up to? That we are one body made up of many members, but we are equipped for service. We are not equipped just to get on, as C.S. Lewis talked about, the bus that takes us to heaven. We are equipped to do works of service. And now, who equips us? Ephesians says that it is the pastor's role, it's the prophet's role, it's the evangelist's role, and the teacher's role to equip the body, the members of the body, for works of service. It means that we are all to be employed doing the work. And what is that work? It's the work of Jesus. Amen. Whatever He's been doing in the world is what we do because we're of the same mind, the mind of Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching about money. So if you have other places to be, I understand. If you need to make plans, just know that I wanted to give you plenty of advanced warning so that you can have some kind of unplanned event happening in your life. Anyway, not really. I know that we love to hear about what God has to say about money. And then on December 2nd, where do we go from here? What is the vision of Christ for the church? Each of these sermons are, of course, uploaded to our Living Well church website at, look at there, www.livingwellchurch.org. Did you know that when we started, there was only one other Living Well Church, and it was in New Zealand? Now there's Living Well churches everywhere. And I think that's amazing that God is using that name and blessing that name. Today, how we work together. How we work together in partnership, working together. The body has to stick together. Some of you remember that little story I told about the guy trying to rescue the guy that parts kept coming off of him because they were prosthetic. And he said, if you want me to help you, you got to stick together. You got to stick together. We got to do this together because this is where the vitality, the life, the synergy is. Doing work together. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Scripture says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorites. You know they're all kind of my favorite. But I love this one because it has personal meaning for me, deep meaning. Until you have attempted to do something so big that unless God shows up and you're joined by other people who believe like-mindedly with you, until you've attempted something so big like that, you probably don't understand the value of partnership. Anybody who's been in the military knows what it means to value your partner, to value those friendships, to rely on each other, that you cannot do this by yourself. You must rely on your teammate. You must rely on your friend. Anybody who's ever been on a sports team knows that unless we work together, unless we do this together, our success at winning the game will not happen. And to the extent that we win or lose will be dependent upon how well we learn to work together. Amen? Amen? You got to work together. It's no different in the church. In fact, in the church, I believe it's even more important and more vital. I still sign many of my emails and correspondence, especially with you here from Living Well. Thank you for your partnership from the first day until now. It's truly a humbling experience to have others join you in the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be among those who get up early, stay up late, move with you, give sacrificially, dream big, take huge risks, attempt big things, and accomplish some big things. I remember standing on the brink of planting Living Well, and I remember having some partners from Sterling First and Dick and Ella from Princeton, and I remember Nathan and Sarah, they just sold their house, and there they were standing next to us. They're like, okay, let's do this. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is the most important work that I've ever been involved in. And God has blessed, and God has brought us to here, and God has saved many folks along the way, which is what it's all about. Until we have experienced what it is to live life on the edge in partnership, relying on each other, but most importantly, relying on God, I don't think we'll understand what Paul's talking about. This morning we had Debbie Case at Lost Lake from as a guest from Hope Life Center, where we have went in our partnership with her. We have went from influencing 2% of the population of women with unwanted pregnancies to 52% of the population of women of unplanned pregnancies are now choosing. 7 out of 10 women are choosing life. Amen. 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 Praise God. We partner with Lost Lake in the Well, Fighting Hunger, Feeding Wellness, as KSB provides the meals, having served over 6,700 meals since January. Praise God. 3,500 of those meals served right here. That's just mind-blowing to me. Hot, warm, served from friends with the presence of mind who sit down and say, hey, how's everything going in life? Is there anything I can pray for? God is blessed. And it's been beautiful. Living Well and Lost Lake Church's partner in prayer, praying weekly since January for the needs expressed by the patients at KSB. We partner as being part of the Church of the Nazarene with 55 other Churches of the Nazarene on this little corner of Illinois, northwest corner, partnering together to reproduce churches who make Christ-like disciples in the nations. And as a district, we envision 3,000 disciple makers. This is like huge. This is like growing by 6 times over in the next few years. We envision 3,000 disciple makers gathering in 300 churches with 15,000 Christ-like disciples and 30,000 worshipers by 2030. That's one of those goals that you look at it and you think, unless God does this, we're all going to look really silly. But you know what? 2 years in, God is already producing the results in the church that says you're completely on your way. Just keep doing what you're doing, and it's been work. Keep doing what you're doing, and I will provide the results that I've given you as a vision. Both Lost Lake and Living Well are the fruit of partnerships with Sterling First Church of the Nazarene and the Northwest Illinois District. We partner with our educational region of Nazarenes in Illinois and Wisconsin and Indiana and Michigan to support our university, Olivet Nazarene University, where every dollar that we give as churches goes to support scholarships and making a world-class education with a Christian purpose. We partner with our Nazarene denomination of 2.5 million members, over 30,000 churches scattered in 160 world areas, to support 700 missionaries all over the world so that people hear about Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about. I know many churches are doing as good or even better. Praise God. We partner with the Jesus Film Project, organizing and planting churches in nearly every village where the Jesus Film is shown. We partner together because we believe that our work together is greater than the sum of the hours and the money that we would spend as individuals. Somehow God takes what we do together and makes it more than just a sum of the total. Somehow God reproduces and He multiplies. Let's just look at Ecclesiastes 4:9. Hey, you know, even in our day of, hey Dave, even in our day of high-tech farming and, you know, we're all so sophisticated and we got everything we need. You ask any farmer who's out there, especially this year, we still rely on our farming neighbors, amen, to get the harvest in. We still got to partner together to get the work done. We cannot do it alone. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have good return for their work. So let's think about it. Let's get into the scripture this morning in Philippians. Why was Paul so thankful to the Philippians for their partnership together? Well, let's start here. In general, because Paul's priorities had now completely changed. Paul had moved from a hungry for power, religious professional, to a humble servant who had just been saved and had seen Jesus. And this was an experience that the Philippian believers could identify with. They had been humbled, they had been ridiculed, but through it all, they had seen Jesus. And because of that, in general, they had a shared vision, they had a shared identity in regards to what life is all about now. Life is all about Jesus. And because of that, the Apostle Paul and the Philippian believers shared a particularly beautiful partnership. They were so in love with Jesus that they realized that everything that's going on in life as a possible distraction, as a possible sidetrack, as a possible detour, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. And we can encourage each other in this task. Specifically, though, I mean, that should be the truth for everybody, for all Christians. Whether we're Baptist, Nazarene, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, it should be the truth for all of us that having experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus and seeing Him face to face and having been saved from our sins, now we understand what this is all about. We have been saved. Let's make it all about Jesus. From the very beginning of His ministry in Philippi, it seems that God had planned for a particularly beneficial partnership with Philippi. After all, remember it was Silas, if you want to turn over there to Acts chapter 16, we'll dig in a little bit. It was Silas and Paul that partnered together to go to Macedonia, remember? In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, you have this picture of a man from Macedonia, which Philippi was a province. Macedonia was a province, and Philippi was a city within the province of Macedonia. A man in a vision, Paul said, standing up and saying, "Please, come and help us over here." And Paul recognized the vision as from God, and he got up and he took Silas with him and he went to Macedonia, and God began to bless. They were hungry souls, they were receptive souls, and the church was planted, and God continued to bless, and people responded to the message of salvation. There's also the story of Lydia and her conversion, leading not only to her salvation, but also to the salvation of her entire family. She was just a dealer of purple from Thyatira, passing through Philippi. And her and Paul got a chance to talk. And pretty soon, you know what happened? Lydia came to Christ, and she went home, and her entire family then believed. And you got that story over there in the Philippian jailer, remember that in Acts chapter 16, 25 through 34, where the disciples, Paul and some others, were there in prison, Paul and Silas. They had them locked down good. And they, as the sun was going down and nighttime was setting in, you know, and the rats were starting to come around, they began to sing songs, they began to praise, they began to pray, and pretty soon the foundations of that prison shook with the glory of God, and the doors came bursting open, and the Philippian jailer just began to think everybody's going to run out of here, so he drew his sword and he was ready to off himself. And Paul and Silas said, wait, we're all here, it's okay, we're all here. The Philippian jailer was so amazed that they would respect his authority, that he said, "How can I be saved? I've been listening to you sing. I've been listening to you pray. There's obviously something bigger than I'm aware of. How can I be saved?" And they brought him to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And pretty soon we read there in Acts 16 that not only he was saved, but his entire household was saved. And then they were baptized. And it became all about Jesus. Something beautiful was happening in Philippi. And Paul loved to be a part of it. Paul begins his letter with words thanking God for the Philippians' partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That partnership was multifaceted. The believers in Philippi took part not only verbally sharing Christ, but they followed up their words with action. They not only said, "Oh, we care about you, Paul. We care about what's going on over there in Ephesus and Thessalonica. We care." But they not only said they cared, they sent men like Epaphroditus over there with a gift, all the way from Philippi to Thessalonica. They said, "Paul, we believe in what you're doing." And Paul even said, his tears in his eyes, there at the end of the letter of Philippians, he said, "No other church supported me except you." He said, "Now that I've been amply supplied," praise God. He said, I want this to continue to go on your record. He said, don't get me wrong, I love what you're doing and it's helping me a great deal, and I'm going to ask for more, but not for my benefit, but because it's going on your record as a generous church, amen? Because you believe in the partnership, you believe in what God is doing in our partnership together. They also suffered together, Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. I'm jumping all over the place, aren't I, Brad? Yeah, he's trying to hang on. Hang with me there, Brad. Philippians 1, 27 through 30 says this, whatever happens, Paul's talking to the church at Philippi, he says, whatever happens. Now, this is in a time where people were being imprisoned and put to death for the gospel and ridiculed. And he said, whatever happens, and he's writing from prison, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or even hear about you in my absence, I know that you will stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is the sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. We still partner. We do ministry together. We partner so that others can be sent out from here. So that when they teach, it's us teaching beside them. When they go, we're going with them. We may still have a Dixon address, but we're sending resources to them, to the missionaries, to the people who go on our behalf. Friends, the longer I pastor, the more I believe that God expects us to partner together. There's no other way to do what He's called us to do. We cannot accomplish the Great Commission by individuals going out and doing their thing without being connected to the body. The job is too big. The job is too great. We must rely on the Spirit to multiply the efforts that we are making. Because when two or three are gathered together, I'm there. I am there. And I will multiply what you do. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, Lord, bless them so that they will do even greater works than I do. Wow. Let that blow your mind for a little bit. So that they will do even greater works than I am doing because I go to the Father. Like Paul and the church in Philippi, we work together with an extraordinary love. Amen. There's love in one man, Jesus Christ. We understand what love is because we know Jesus. And as we know Jesus, we are able to overcome incredible barriers because of love. Amen. Love makes this work. If the church was just an organization, it wouldn't have lasted through all the persecution, through all the trial, through all the martyrs, through all of the burning, through all of the hardships. We'd have never made it. We'd have been snuffed off the map. But because God is with us, no power formed against us will succeed because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. I will build my church, Jesus said. We work together with an extraordinary mission. John chapter 14, I referred to it a moment ago. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Whew, blows my mind. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Finally, we work together with an extraordinary calling. God has called us to a task. And not just to, you remember over there in John chapter 17 where Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says, Father, I pray that they will be one, that they will be unified, that they will have one purpose, and that as you and I are one, God, that we will be one, that they will be one with us. I talked in an earlier sermon that reality is we can be one on the big ones, like the virgin birth and that Jesus Christ is returning again, and the reality of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can be one on those things and still not get anything done for the kingdom. We also have to be one on the little things, like how is this local church going to get the ball from the 10-yard line to the 20-yard line? Amen. How are we going to get it all the way down to the field and make the goal for the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to work together, which means that sometimes we've got to give and take on some personal preferences. I was sharing with Jeanette earlier this week that I tuned into Moody Radio, and I haven't listened to Moody Radio for years, but I love Moody Radio. I've just have never been in a place where I could get it and hear it in the last few years. But tuned it on, and I couldn't believe what I heard. They went all contemporary on us. They did?
Not all.
Not all, Ella says, because she listens to Moody Radio. But you know what? I was hearing contemporary Christian music on it. I'm like, I seen it coming. But I thought, Moody, if anybody can stay traditional, Moody could do it. Well, Moody knows that times have changed too. And I love traditional, beautiful hymns and Christian music. But I also know that there's a generation younger than me that really relates to the contemporary Christian music. And when it comes down to running a radio station, you got to have listeners to get the message out. Amen. To get the message out. The music is just a vehicle to get the message out. The message is the same. God loves you, and He sent His one and only Son to die for you, that you will have life. And not only just life right here and now, but you will have life to the full, and you will have meaning and purpose in your life like you have never found before. And you'll find in no other name and no other purpose, Jesus Christ. So you see, we've got to be one on the big stuff, and we got to be one on the little stuff. And that's why we have diversity in churches, because we have 100 million ways that we can do church to get the ball from point A to point B and run in for the goal of helping get people saved. Now, here's the reality. In the secular world, like in business and in, you know, where we work, money covers a lot of disagreements. People will put up with a lot of money if they're paid enough. In the church, it's much more raw and much more real than that. It's been said that working with volunteers requires the highest form of people skills and leadership skills. For one reason, the motivation for coming in and working isn't money. And so much of our American culture is motivated by money. So if there's no money, if there's nothing in it for me, I might as well not do it. Well, that's not how the church works. The church is not motivated by money. In a volunteer organization, the driver of money and the anesthetic of money isn't there. Serving as a volunteer is a motive purifier. People who are volunteering are more likely to serve out of a deep sense of personal conviction. In a volunteer organization, there's little money to soothe injured egos and wounded pride. Yet the church continues to produce some of the finest work the world has ever seen on a volunteer basis. Amen. From the care of the lost, the last, and the least, to the education of some of the world's most influential leaders who in turn invest their lives in training new leaders to equip the church to do even greater things in the name of Jesus. We go to where the need is, building hospitals, clinics, homes, and schools. We work to supply for daily necessities by digging wells and preparing and growing food and serving food. The church is in every field of noble endeavor in the world. wherever there's something going on, there's a Christian involved in it. Messing stuff up, questioning values, bringing the core values into it, the Jesus perspective. Amen? Stirring things up and getting things situated. Challenging the status quo. Why are we really doing this? If it's not for Jesus, let's just stop. Okay? But if it's for Jesus, let's get this done. Amen? The vision that He's placed on us, the mission He has given us, let's get the ball down the field. Let's put more wheat in the wagon. We've all got more time to breathe. At least we've got right now. Let's do this thing. Amen? Henry Ford said, getting together is the beginning. A lot of churches get together. Keeping together is progress. But working together, now that's success. And Henry Ford developed a system to make the Model T available for nearly every home in America. Amen? I want to make Jesus available to every home in America. And we join with our partners around the world in all denominations that recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. And we have our own little spin on things as Church of the Nazarene, and we do things a little differently, but praise God, so does the Baptists, and so does the Pentecostals, and so does the Methodists. We all do things a little different, but we're all working to get the ball down the field, and ultimately, we're working together to add to that 2.2 billion people who now believe that Jesus Christ is Lord in our world today. Let's just make that a flat across 7 billion. Amen? Let's go into every nook and cranny and make sure that people know. You see, for us, for Henry Ford, I'm coming in for a landing. For Henry Ford, it was Model Ts. For us, it's Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
For us, that cause is the person of Jesus Christ, who not only fed the hungry, healed the sick, and restored worth to the downtrodden, but by His blood He heals every sin-sick soul that comes to Him in faith. For us, this is the highest calling of our lives, to share the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the beautiful message that Jesus loves you. We join with Alyssa and Josh in teaching little Hannah, and we're going to teach little Hazley, and we're going to do our part to teach little Lizzie and little Avery and little Olivia. And man, my grandkids are adding up, and Brogan, when Hannah comes to our house, she hears the same thing she hears at her house. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You want to sing it, don't you? It's because she's going to hit a wall when she's 3. She's going to hit a wall when she's 5. She's going to hit a wall when she's 7. She's going to hit a wall when she's 16. She's going to hit a wall when she's 35, when she's 45, when she's 75. And I want her to know that Jesus loves her. I want her to know that the Bible tells her that Jesus loves her. And I want it to be saturated in her soul. That's the first thing that she thinks of when she questions, what is going on in this world? What is my purpose in this life? I want her to know that Jesus loves me. I know this because the Bible tells me so. And we're also working on another good one. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. In this time of racial division, Jesus loves the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Why? Because I want her to know that we don't have to hate, that we can love like Jesus loved. Amen? So we partner together. We partner as parents. We partner as Sunday school teachers. We partner as churches. We partner as denominations. We partner as independent parachurch groups. We partner together to help people know Jesus. We work together. It's hard. People's feelings get hurt, and there's no money to make it feel better. We just have to do it. Those original 12 disciples who started out, you know, kind of tentative about things and following Jesus, and they were ready to blow up cities and stuff when they got offended. Just remember that. Lord, just call down fire from heaven. Just. Once they saw the full extent of Christ's love for them, it all changed. And they went from calling fire down from heaven to laying their lives down for the sake of the gospel. And they gave their lives so that people would know that it's not about power. It's not about fame. It's about you knowing that Jesus loves you. And you don't have to continue living and struggling the way you are. There's a better plan. There's a better way. There's meaning. There's hope. It's real. When you reach that point, there's not an amount of money that you would take to not do it. You're going to do it no matter how poor you are or how rich you are. And everything, when it comes to resources and money, becomes a means to help people know Jesus. The motivation that kept those disciples going is the same motivation that's kept us going. We have been loved with a love that surpasses all others, a selfless love that gives all and costs all. Yet, we join together, forming an unbroken, ever-growing chain that since the day of Jesus' birth, his followers continue to serve, partner together in spite of their differences. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. As our worship team comes, Paul said, "It's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." Thank you for sharing in God's grace with me. Thank you that we can do this together for Jesus. When it all comes down to it, I remember that little plaque that Mom had on her wall. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's too bad it takes sometimes the bottom falling out and all of our worldly systems to crumble before we see what it's really about. God, spare us, if you can. Spare us from going down so far, but Lord, help me see you and help my neighbor see you. I pray for their deliverance. I pray for their salvation. Lord, spare them from suffering. But Lord, ultimately, help us see you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your work in our lives. And we have the privilege now of working in your vineyard. Lord, I know as you look out in the harvest fields, you're looking at the church and saying, the harvest is plentiful. Church, go into the harvest fields and bring them in. Lord, equip us, mobilize us, employ us in your service. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand and sing one last one with us?
Of sorrows, Lamb of God, by His own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus slain. Silent as He stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, He took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed Him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full, by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed.
Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full, by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee.
See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee.
Wow, thank you. As we close here this morning, just a reminder that at our place on December 1st, if you're interested in joining Living Well Church, we've got a place for you in membership. We're planning to meet at our place, and this class will be on December 1st from 2 to 6. So if you're contemplating membership and want to know more information about who we are, potential members from both Lost Lake and Living Well will be with us that day. And then that's in preparation for December 9th, which is a membership Sunday. So if you'd like to join the church, we would certainly love to have you. December 7th will be the Dixon Christmas Walk. So about where I'm standing, there's going to be an iceberg built. And there'll be lots of facilities, lots of festivities take place. We'll probably host upwards of 800, 900, maybe 1,000 people, maybe more. And so we'll figure this room will be completely converted. So we're going to need cookie bakers like usual. We'll usually cook, usually bake about 1,000 cookies. And they're all homemade, and it's wonderful. Then we're also going to show the Charlie Brown Christmas so that as they're in line, they'll be able to hear Charlie Brown read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, so that we have an opportunity to share Christ with everyone who comes in. If you'd like to be a part of this year's outreach opportunity, please see Shelley to also help with decorations. That would be wonderful. And if you're helping with cookies, they can be dropped off. I believe this is in your bulletin, but I'll give it to you anyway. Thursday, December 6th from 7 to 8. And if you're participating in decorating or set up for the Christmas walk, we have a schedule. I think that's back there on the table for work nights, work days. On December 15th from 4 to 7, we'd like to have you all over to our place for Christmas, just to have an open house with you. And we look forward to seeing you, hoping you can make it. We don't have a time set. We're going to try to all get you home before dark. How's that? Yeah. All right.
The first hour.
Yeah, right. And of course, we set up for the well right after this. So the brown chairs here go right over here. And all those chairs are not separated. They just are pulled right straight up so that when we go to put them back, they can all go straight back. So all of those chairs, I'm not sure what we're going to do with them now that the Christmas tree's there. Stack them?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Bring them over to this area, the purple chairs, so Jay and Bill have a plan on that. So, all right, thank you so much. Yes. Oh, yes. The World Evangelism Fund. This is every dollar that you give for the World Evangelism Fund at Thanksgiving goes to help the Church of the Nazarene get into unreached world areas. So our regular giving goes to support our works in the 160 world areas. We're continuing to break into new areas with permission in some cases, and in other cases we do kind of a covert getting in and just being part of the fabric of the community. It's necessary Christian work. And so I guess break in is not really all that far off sometimes. All right, and then alabaster offering helps.
Helps
to build churches and schools and medical facilities and homes. Thank you for your giving on that. So next week, we'll have a special offering for world evangelism. Let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel from the first day
until
now.
If anybody needs a professional cookie taste tester, I would be to help out with that.
Do it. You're a good man.
The stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor.